Those last two songs are good songs for the new year. Amen. Trust Jesus. Simply trust Him. It's a good adage no matter what year you talk about. And then take time to be holy this year. Amen. And we need to do as we sang. All right, Hebrews. Book of Hebrews chapter number 6. Giving you a handout tonight because the points are a little bit complicated. It'd be difficult if you wanted to take notes. Plus, I don't plan on turning to all these passages. I've got them written in my notes, and for the sake of time, I'll be quoting them, but you'll have them there to be able to look up later if you want to do that. Hebrews 6, verse number 17. Hebrews 6, 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that veil, within the veil. And so tonight I want to take a look at some things that I think will be helpful to you. Thought about this quite intently and worked on it quite a bit. Some things to keep in mind in this world in which we live in. We're living in an ever-changing world. That's just a no-brainer. We know that things change, and change is not always bad. But it seems like there's a lot of change that's going on that is bad in the day and time which we live. We know that technology constantly changes, and things that once were only science fiction have become a reality, and what's top of the line today may be obsolete tomorrow. I mean, it's just a given in the time that which we live, things are changing rapidly in the technology field. You think about medicine. Medicine constantly changes. Things that were once impossible are now routine. And a lot of what used to take a hospital stay is now done outpatient, and things that used to take weeks or months to recover from, now folks get over it in just a few days normally. And then we know the society constantly changes. Now this is where things have changed for the worse. Many of those changes are reprehensible and an abomination to God. And we know that. Many things that our society used to look down on have now become generally acceptable. They haven't become acceptable to us, at least they shouldn't be. And could I tell you, there are more changes that are in store in this coming year. I read recently in the matter of marriage, where cohabitation now is those that are living couples living together outside of the bounds of wedlock now outnumber the couples that are married. I don't doubt it. I mean, when you talk to people in public, they don't usually talk about their wife. They usually talk about their girlfriend that they live with, or they talk about their significant other. Very seldom do you hear them talking about a normal husband-wife relationship. You think about sodomy or homosexuality. It has now been given legal status. It doesn't make it acceptable to God. It's not only viewed by most in society as acceptable, but there's an obvious, I don't know whether you paid attention, there's an obvious force that's going on now pushing this, trying to make us accept it, trying to make it more acceptable. In the little bit of TV that my wife and I watch, if you look at just the advertisements, you look at the number of gay couples with children, okay, in the advertisements, they have risen exponentially. I mean, they just really have shot out through the roof. And we just watch the news and Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy pretty much, and other than that, we don't watch a whole lot of TV. But there's enough there that what they're doing with these advertisements is trying to train your children and our grandchildren to accept it. That this is society now. But it's still an abomination before God. God hasn't changed His idea on this. Abortion, you think about up until 1963, it was viewed as the murder of the unborn and an unspeakable evil in our country. Now, since that time, over 60 million babies. I want you to think about that figure. Over 60 million babies have been now murdered since that Roe versus Wade decision. I saw just yesterday, okay, a friend of mine who's a pastor over in the Tallahassee area, he posted, and I reposted it on my Facebook page, the World Health Organization, I believe it is, came out and said that this past year, the greatest cause of death in the world is now abortion. Think about that. 4.9 million babies worldwide were aborted this past year. 4.9 million. Abortion has not only been legal for years, but those who oppose it are forced to pay for its promotion. First thing that the Democrats started working on when they got back to the House, they won the House. Thankfully, we've got the Republicans have the Senate in control. But the first bill that they put forth was to undo all the changes that Trump did when he got into office. They were refunding all the abortion facilities and stuff like that. It's just unreal what we see coming down the pipes. We know the fashion changes. I don't know how you ladies anymore. I know it's difficult to try to find something decent to wear. I know my wife struggles with it. You go to the store and it's like work just to try to find something that's not indecent anymore. Many churches are changing. Many have cast aside God's word, either in total or have replaced it with a watered-down version that is acceptable to the masses. And people are being allowed in pulpits that should not be there. Yeah. People are readily accepting, and it's wrong, supposed men of God who have been divorced and remarried. So why? It's wrong. It should not be that way. They're accepting women in the pulpits, pastoring churches. It's wrong. People are being allowed there that should not be there. We know that even there's transgender and homosexuals that are being in some pulpits and some types of churches that are out there. Many churches are changing their doctrine to keep up with the societal norms and so they don't lose their crowd. Many have traded the old-fashioned hymns and the teaching and preaching with God's word for worldly entertainment. I mean, you look at how they are trying to pull people in anymore. And it's with entertainment and with food, you know, is what it's all about. Entertainment and music, wrong kind of music, and with food. And we could go on and on looking at different things that are in a state of flux or constant change. And as we get older, all this change can begin to make your head spin. Am I right? Those of us that are getting older, it's hard for us to accept, and we're not meant to accept it, really. We have trouble keeping up with it all. But in this ever-changing world, there's a need to have an anchor for us to hold on. Hold us fast so we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and passing fad. And thank God we have that anchor, that verse number 19 there that we read, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Now, in the midst of all that's changing in the world, I want to give you quickly 10 things to remember in this new year. And, there were times when my pastor, as I was growing up, he would hand a particular handout out, and he would suggest that we would maybe keep it in our Bible for a long-term basis or for a short-term basis. I'm going to recommend that you keep this in your Bible to refer to throughout the year. Ever how you want to do it, just have it sticking in there. But I think it can help you as we see many of these changes come to pass in the year. Now, the first thing we want to see here is that societal norms may change and no doubt will change for the worse, but the Lord has not changed, He does not change, and He will not change. Amen. We have an unchanging God. And Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3:6 is, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I'm glad that we have an unchanging God. And if God changed all the time, you'd have to get up and check, where was God at today? But we have a hope that's steadfast and sure. And we know where God stands. And we should stand in the same place where He stands. Amen. And the second thing there, the Word of God that we use, this Word of God that we use and will continue to use, it still contains the eternal truths that are able to provide the answers to all of our questions, our doubts, and our fears in this coming year. Use the Word of God. Amen. Make it a resource in these changing times to help stay your course. Make sure that you're not getting off course. Make sure that you're not in the drift with the society is drifting. They're drifting further away from God, not drifting closer. Drift is always away. It's never closer. And we know that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, according to Psalms 119, verse 105. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." We don't have to worry about change with this book right here. I know they're changing all kinds of perversions that are coming out, changing them to make them more acceptable, changing them to take gender out of the Bible, and changing them for just to be changing. A lot of it's just changed to be changing so they can make a buck off of it. That's nothing more than what it really, truly is. And we need to stay away from that and just stick with the book that God has given to us. This good old King James Bible has been a source of stability all my life. And for many years before that, and I think we just need to stick with the book. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7 says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. It says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." And I believe that God has preserved for us, in this King James Bible, His Word for English-speaking people. And that's what we speak. Amen. Some of us speak a little bit different English than others. But we speak English. Amen. And we understand English. And the King James English is a more precise English than what we speak. And we need to understand that. And don't look for somebody to change it to now. You look at all the changes that have been made to the English versions. The changes are not for the better. The changes are for the worse, and we just need to stick with the book. A third thing there, our God will still hear and answer our prayers if we pray according to God's Word and His will. Now, God's not going to answer when we get away from Him. If we harbor sin in our life and we don't first get that taken care of, don't expect Him to hear our prayers, but He will still hear and answer our prayers if we pray according to His Word and to His will. And in Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, "And call upon Me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me." There could be trouble coming in 2019. We don't know. I know that every new year that we see, it just seems like things are waning worse and worse in our society. Some folks have said that we're on the verge of a civil war. I hope that's not the case, but you can see that if a financial crisis was to take place, and when you're in as deep a debt as what our country is in. It's not, and you've seen the drop in the stock market recently. It's not going to take much to have a financial crisis where folks are going to be wondering where their next meal is coming from, and it could provide a time when we have chaos in our country, and we need to be people of prayer. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our leaders. Pray for our president. Pray for the Congress and their courts. Pray for what's going on, and take the thing to the Lord. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So, Word of God and prayer. You know, those are two big things right there together. Number two and number three. Number four, the fourth thing there, God's Holy Spirit will still be at work, convicting, calling, comforting, and caring for us. I'm glad that the Lord gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit. You realize that we're blessed in that the way, in ways that the Old Testament saints a lot of times didn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. I mean, the Holy Spirit would come on them for a while, maybe for a particular thing, but He did not indwell them. When, you know, we that live in this church age, we're blessed in that the Lord Jesus Christ promised to send His Comforter, the Holy Spirit. In John 14:16-18, He says, "I will pray the Father, He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." He's there. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." So we have the comfort of God. There are going to be things that are going to want to try to steal your comfort this year, no doubt. And look for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look to our Lord for that comfort. Number five, our Lord is sovereign. Don't forget that. And will still be in control. And He's able to supply our every need if we look to Him. You know, Psalm 46 talks about how that God is our refuge and strength, and that He's a very present help in trouble. So when trouble comes, look to Him. He is in control. It may look like things are out of control, but our God, He has the hand on the thermostat of the heat that comes our way. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? He knows how much we can take. But God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. It says, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." So we need to look to the Lord. And Philippians 4:19 talks about how that God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Number six there. There'll still be those that need to be, and can be, and will be saved. Amen. We need to be busy about getting the gospel out. And we need to be sensitive to those that are around us, that God is working in their life. And you know, some of their lives are a mess. And what they need is that they need Jesus. And Mark 16:15 is still true. He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We need to be about getting the gospel to those that need it. And because Romans 10:13 is still true, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know, it's we know that there's a harvest to be had. John 4:35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." So we need to look for the opportunities that God places before us in this year. Amen. People need Jesus. And you've got Jesus. Share Jesus with them because the need is great in their lives. Number seven thing here is there will still be the Lord's forgiveness. You know, we all going to still mess up in this year. You're going to need the Lord's forgiveness. And it's still available. There's still blessings, peace, love, and abundance provided to all those who want it. And we know that the Lord invites us to come to Him. He said in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, we get a lot of times we get out of sorts with the Lord, and we carry that burden around, and rather than taking care of it and rather than doing what we need to do with it. But the Lord invites us to lay it upon Him and to seek His forgiveness. The 1 John 1:9 still in the Bible. I'm glad if we can confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing. Amen. Number 8, the local church. Think about the church. The local church will still be the Lord's agency, place, and plan for worship, service, sacrifice, and fellowship. Now, that's a lot. That's one reason why I give you a handout. Amen. I want you to think about these things. And, you know, take this sheet and think about what we've said. And when I'm going to say it all about everything, but, God still is in the business of using His local church. He wants to work through His church. I know there's a lot of so-called good agencies that are out there that do not work under the auspices of the church, but you know, that's not God's way. God wants to work through His local church. And we are not to forsake His local church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And quite frankly, as we see all that's happening in our world, we know that we're closer to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And so we ought not to let up on our faithfulness. We ought to come together more. We ought to assemble ourselves together and exhort one another even more in these final days. And I think that we're going to probably have to rely on one another a lot more than what we have had to in the past. Amen. But I thank God for the local church. And the church is not the building. The church is us. It's us that are in the Lord and that come here and assemble together. Ephesians 3, verse number 20 and 21 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I'm glad that our God is greater than greater than what we think about Him. You know, you think about how great God is. Well, He's even greater than that. All right, you just think about it's the greatest thing that you can think about God. Well, God's even greater than that. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. Think about that. That's great. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, and said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, what do you say he was going to build the church on? Was on the fact that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he was speaking about. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to call it quits on the church. And God's not wanting you to quit. I know there's a lot of folks that are separating themselves from the church, and they're going to home worship. They just have them and their family, or they you really wonder about that sometimes. But I don't believe God has finished building His church. He wants us to assemble as His people, and He wants us to work labor together with the Lord. Amen. Number 9. Our Lord will still be able to deliver us from or through whatever trials we may face. You're going to be delivered from it or through it, one way or the other. I want you to think about Daniel, the book of Daniel, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're there, and they've been threatened to be thrown into a furnace, a burning fiery furnace, and they've been told by the king Nebuchadnezzar, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." So He can deliver us from it. "And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." In other words, they were going to be delivered through it. You know, either going to be delivered from it or through it into the Lord's hands. And we need to realize that sometimes the Lord delivers us from things. Sometimes He delivers us through those things. And Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Look to the Lord as your help. Amen. The Lord is our help. He is our guide. He's the one that we're to look to. I know that our society has been trained to look to the government. We got a generation of people that look to the government for help. A tragedy hits and they want to know, where's FEMA? That's right. Where's FEMA? That's because of these changes in society that have taken place. But we who know the Lord, when these things come our way, we're to look to the Lord and look for His help. Amen. And then the tenth thing I want you to realize, and this is very important, and that is that the Lord will hold, and I should have put each of us, okay, the Lord will hold each of us accountable for our stewardship of each day of 2019. See, we've been given today, right? Today's what we've been given. We're going to account for today. And we can't give account for tomorrow yet because tomorrow's not here. But we're going to give an account for today. If tomorrow comes, we need to realize this is a day that I'm going to have to give an account for. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to be good stewards. He owns it all. And He's allowed some of it to pass through our hands. Amen. What a blessing that is. And He's gifted us in ways that we don't deserve. I think you think about how the Holy Spirit has gifted us with spiritual gifts. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So be a good steward of that God has given you. And you know, how much of 2019 are we going to see? I'm not sure. I'm not a prophet in that area. I'm not a date setter of when the Lord is going to come back. I don't know. The Lord could come back before the end of the year. He could come back before the end of tonight. I fully believe that. Or we might go through the portals of heaven by way of death. It may come our way this year. You know, there's always every year, it seems like always every year, some folks that are not with us anymore, whether they're in your family or whether they're in the church. And you know, we all would like to go in the rapture, I know. You know, that's our preferred method, right? You about bypass that death thing. But it might be our year for the Lord to say, "Okay, I'm ready for you to come home now." And you know, he'll be with us even in that. If it is our time to go, you don't fear that. He's taken the fear out of death. If you got Him in your life, no need to fear death. And so the Lord could come back before the end of the year. We might go through the portals of heaven by way of death. We don't know. It's in the Lord's hands. And realize that it's in the Lord's hands. But ever how much of 2019 that we do see, I trust that you'll remember these 10 things. Amen. I hope they'll be a help to you. Be good just to review them from time to time. Maybe on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or maybe even a daily basis. Ever how God would have you to take a look at that. Just to be reminded of the things that we need to keep our mind on in this coming year. And I trust that God gives you a good year. You know, if you're in Him, it's a good year. Amen. If you're in Him, what more can you ask for? He'll make it a good one for you. Amen. Even though it may not appear on the surface, we know that all things work together for our good. Those of us that know the Lord, and He's going to work it out to our good. And so let's trust Him for this coming year. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that You might take these words tonight, and Lord, use them in our hearts and in our lives and this coming year. Lord, we readily admit that we don't know what's on tomorrow, but we know that You hold tomorrow, and for that we're thankful. And Lord, we have our trust in You. Help us to keep our trust in You. There are going to be some things that may shake us to our very core, some things that come our way that just are going to tempt us to get our eyes off of You and cause us to fear. Lord, help us to be mindful of You. Help us be reminded of these things that we have, the resources that You've given to us, the Holy Spirit living within, the avenue of prayer, the Word of God, Lord, just precious resources. One another, you know, Lord, having the church is another precious resource. And Lord, help us to use our resources that You've given to us as Your children to make it a good year for You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to have the invitation. I know if you might need to come, we'll have you stand if you're able to, and we'll play a hymn of invitation if you need to come tonight, give you an opportunity to do that.